Welcome to the AW Confidential Podcast. I'm the founder of Awakened Woman and author of A Journey to Becoming the Best Self. AW is about sharing stories. I believe it's one of the best ways to create connection, heal, and learn from one another. I hope you join me and some guests along the way as we explore different perspectives and experiences on topics about women, for women, and to inspire, empower, and encourage women.
Hi, loves. Welcome to the AW Confidential Podcast. You all know how much I love to talk and write about dating and relationships. Today's guest likes to share his stories. He happens to be hilarious when he shares his story. His comedy covers life, upbringing, adulthood, and dating and relationships. Ian Lara is one of the hottest comics rising in the ranks of the New York City comedy circuit. His Comedy Central stand-up featuring has over 10 million views. He has appeared on NBC's Bring the Funny, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He was a regular on Comedy Central's This Week at Comedy Cellar. This Dominican talent has also been featured in the New Yorker magazine, one of our favorites, and has had his own comedy specials, including Growing Shame on Comedy Central and HBO's Ian Lara Romantic Comedy, which is streaming on Max. Guys, you have to watch it. In 2023, he didn't take a break. He was featured as a comedian on Morir Soñando comedy special at the United Palace, where I saw him live for the first time. And to put icing on the cake, he was named one of Variety's 2023 comics to watch. Watch, period. Then he went on to make a third appearance in the on Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He also hosts the Adulthood podcast, which is, if you can catch that, guys, I definitely suggest it. Ian, welcome. I mean, that was a mouthful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. After you were born, I was thinking, oh, that's a lot. And then I was like, oh, there's more.
I love it. I love it. Like I told you before we hopped on the recording, I love to see our Dominicans rise. I mean, I'm Dominican. My parents are from Santo Domingo, and it's just, it feels good to see, you know, someone who looks like me, you know, doing amazing things and positive things, because I think, you know, that your comedy is relatable, and it's so much fun. It's really so much fun to watch you as a storyteller. So congratulations on all of that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I guess I never really weighed in the importance of representation and seeing people that resemble you on different things, but over the past few years I definitely have learned, especially through people's genuine admiration, of like how cool it is to just see it and to see somebody like on the Tonight Show with an upbringing just how you had an upbringing, how much that it's like, oh, okay, this is cool.
And I watched Jimmy Fallon, so I'm like, oh wait, he's Dominican, oh my god, like that's awesome. It's really, really cool. So So I know you're going to, you know, you're going to be doing bigger and more amazing things, but I'm going to bring it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're the son of Dominican immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. Raised in Queens.
Yeah.
And I know for me, my upbringing, my parents were all about, you know, when I was thinking about college, they basically said to me, you have to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Right.
So was all this success part of like a master plan? Did you believe in this dream before it began unfolding? Because I'm wondering, what did your parents say to you about this career? And do they think you're funny?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a little leeway because I did go to college and I graduated pretty quickly. I went to college and I got my bachelor's degree like in 4 years, which Everyone thinks college is supposed to be 4 years, but most people, it takes people, it's longer because life happens, and sometimes you take time off, sometimes you change a major, whatever. So life happens. So most people don't do it in 4 years. They usually take a little longer. But I went in and I just knocked it out right away. So when I graduated at 21, I had some leeway with my parents because I was so young, but I had already finished school. And it bought me some time to be able, I was gonna go to law school, but it bought me some time to be able to be like, all right, well, I'm gonna, study to take the LSATs and go to law school, but I'm also gonna pursue this little thing that I have. And I think at the beginning, my parents just thought it was like a hobby, I guess. And I kind of bought time because I was like preparing to go to law school. So then by the time that comedy really started going, that's when they started asking, like, hey, what about law school? Things were already kind of happening, so I was able to kind of keep it going. And now, obviously, my mom passed away in 2021, 22.
My mom passed in 2023.
Oh, did she?
I'm
I'm
sorry. Yeah.
yeah. 2021. My mom got she got sick with cancer and passed. But before she did, she got to see me on the Tonight Show and stuff. So that was a big deal. A big deal for her and for all of us, for my whole family.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but overall, they were really supportive. I've always been like an independent, even since I was like a, I'm the youngest, but everyone always be like, oh, you're the youngest, you're the baby. I never really had that like in my growing up. Like I was the youngest, but I never really was the baby. Like I was always like very independent and very like, I'm gonna do what I want to do, and I've always figured it out. So I think my parents just kind of were just like, well, he's always figured it out. Let's just see if maybe he figures this out.
Ah, do they think you're funny?
Yeah, I mean, I like my dad, I mean, yeah, I think so. My dad, I mean, he's seen me a bunch of times. He saw me on the Tonight Show. He saw me film my HBO special. And my dad's like, he's like a Christian. Like, so he's like, so some of the stuff
Wow.
that I talk about, even though I'm not a dirty comic, but some of the stuff I talk about, it's not the type of stuff that he watched, but I think he still understands the humor of it and the comedy of it. And my mom, my mom was Dominican. My mom didn't really even speak English, but I know she got a joy from watching other people enjoy my stuff. I
I
know that.
love that. It's funny you mentioned that. So one of the things I could say is that your comedy is relatable. Like when I listen to your stories, I'm like, I just kind of wonder, is it, are these your stories or are these friends' stories or are
Yeah.
they like embellished to make people laugh?
Yeah.
Because you talk about stuff that sounds like it could happen to any one of us.
Yeah.
With the exception of that story with the girl who urinated in your bed, that was just off the charts. I could
That was
not
from the
get
on the
past
podcast,
that
the
clip,
podcast.
man.
Yeah. No, look, I'm a look, I know I know that comedians they love to get on whatever platform they have and try to insist that everything they're saying is 100% true and accurate and 100% how it happened. I never do that. I never do that. I think I say I'm honest. Some stories are the truth. Some stories I'm embellishing. I'm trying to be funny. I'm an artist. I'm a creator. They're all rooted in like a deep truth. I don't tell a story that's like would never like I don't tell a story that's completely not me and never happened to it, like nothing like that. But some stories are stuff that maybe it might have happened to like a friend, but
Okay.
I'm like that would happen to me, that could happen to me. And also I like my skill is I just know how to tell it. Like that's the skill. Like I know how to create a story and make it relatable. So I think I sometimes I get confused as to like why comedians like to insist that like the story happened just how it happened. And I'm like, well, if it happened just how you're telling it, then you're not really doing anything, right? The skill is creating it and bringing people into it. That's the skill of the
Making
art
it
form.
engaging,
At least
yeah.
in my belief, the skill that I have is that I can take a normal story and turn it into like this world where people can come into it and see themselves in it. That's my skill. So I don't care if
Absolutely.
real or not. It's like, is it funny? Is it captivating? Is it believable? That's more what I try to rely on when I'm telling a story. But a lot like the podcast stories, those are true. Those aren't
Oh.
jokes. Those are just me like
Guys, you have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, those are just me just retelling a story that happened to me. And a lot of times, like I've only been doing the podcast for like 4 or 5 months, but like a lot of times I'll tell a story and then from the reaction that I get from people, I'm like, oh, I gotta put this into the act because this is such like people just can't believe it. It's
I
like that.
like forward that and my bro to my brother forwarded to his friends, and we were like, what the hell? Like it's crazy. It's just crazy. So I'm like, before I leave that question, I have to ask, have you ever put out a story out there that you kind of felt like that you second guessed yourself? Because I think that it can't be easy for comics today. You know, because of the social climate and everything that's going on. And I feel like people are a lot more sensitive. And it's hard to enjoy comedy without people making it, you know, political or social or, you know. So I'm wondering, like, have you ever put something out there that you're like, maybe I shouldn't have?
Well, it's funny because I don't think like I have a perspective of I don't think people are a lot more sensitive than they were. I just think the sensitive people now have a voice, right? Like the oversensitive people now have a voice, but they were always there. It's just in the 80s when Eddie Murphy was doing Raw, they didn't have a voice. It was no internet. How were they going to get together and raise things? They didn't have, they would just have to be upset in their basement, like, but they didn't have a way of getting it out. But they were still people that existed, they were there. They were still sensitive people. Now the sensitive people have a voice, and social media is kind of a vacuum in the sense that all the sensitive people gang up, and you think that that is the consensus, but it's not. This is just like a small portion of people who are outspoken and are united, but that doesn't mean that's how everyone feels. So yeah, I've had stories that I told where people like either they don't understand it, they don't understand the nuance of it, they don't understand the comedy of it, and they take it somewhere else. And sometimes it bothers me, but a lot of times I'm like, you're just a person within an opinion, like, which is fine. Like, I respect everybody's opinion, but sometimes I literally have to tell people, I'm like, what you're saying, like, I respect it as like you're a human being and you have this opinion of like whether somebody's like, oh, that's not funny, or it's like, that's fine. But like, do you understand that this is just you? Like, your opinion is not the thing. Your opinion is an opinion, but it's not the thing. Like, so many people believe that their opinion is the truth. Like, even with my opinion, I'm like, oh no, this is just my opinion. Like, I'm nobody to think
You
that,
know what
like,
they say about opinions,
yeah,
right?
right. Everyone has it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, that's insane. Like, I bring that up to people more than like arguing whether it's true or not. Like, because if you believe it, whatever you believe, I'm not here to convince you. But my thing is more like, but you understand that this is just what you think. You're just like a person. Like, you're just like a nobody. We're all just nobodies, like walking through the earth. And then, like, we have this opinion of, like, oh, that person's not funny. That person's not funny at all. It's like, well, you don't think I'm funny, but many people do. Like, is everyone else? Sometimes, like, I'll get like a comment like that where, like, for example, like on the Tonight Show, they posted like a clip from my set and it like blew up online. It has like 13 million views, something like that. Crazy, like the most viral I've went. But then in it, some comments are like, this is not funny. And I'm like, this clip has 13 million views. It has
Tells you
2
something.
million likes. Like, are you that like self-absorbed that you think 2 million people are wrong and you're right? Like, you think
There's
what
a
you
lot of people
think is
out
right?
there like that, though.
Right. So I never, to answer your question, I never take it like personal. Everyone's entitled to their thing. None of my stories are like, none of them are like come from like a bad place or like, I'm just telling stuff that happened. So if people want to take it away in a personal way, I'm like, all right, but that's not how I meant it. But also you're entitled to take it that way. I don't care.
No, that's a healthy and that's a healthy attitude, because with all the stuff that is out there on social media, if you really pay attention to every single comment, you're gonna drive yourself crazy and you're not gonna do what you love to do,
Right.
because you're always
As an
gonna have a
artist,
critic.
yeah, as an artist, you know that's like the hardest part about like putting your stuff out there. You make yourself so vulnerable, but you know, sometimes I gotta remind myself, well, like this is the thing that I signed up for, right? Like this is like I could have went and had I could have been a lawyer, right? And if I was a lawyer, I wouldn't have to put stuff out there and be criticized by the public. But because I chose this, which I'm very grateful, this career has given me so much. Everything I have, like the fact that I make people laugh, has given it to me, from where I live to what I drive to where I travel to. Like, everything I do is con 100% like due to me being able to make people laugh. But one of the negatives of there is like every once in a while there's going to be some comments online that are going to tell me I suck and I should, I shouldn't live, which that
Well,
doesn't bother, it does hurt, but
we'll just like turn the page on that one. It's so outrageous. So you're the host of this podcast, Adulthood, and you share a lot of your stories about adulting. So I'm just curious, for you so far, what has been the hardest part of adulthood so far? You have like, I don't know, decades to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially being the youngest, I think so far it's been most of my life, all of my like my I was very lucky like growing up. Like I come from like my family was like solid, like good family. Like I didn't have to deal with much of like people getting older or deaf. But now, especially because I'm the youngest, my mom had me, she was 36, 37. Now growing up, part of growing up is seeing your parents get older and your grandparents get older and get sick and pass, and that is part of adulting. That's part of the cycle of life. That's not it's not new to me or to you. Everyone experiences it, right? But that's it's something that it doesn't get spoken about a lot, but it's just as part of adulting as like paying bills or doing those type of things. So I think for me that has been the most difficult part is like getting older, watching my mom get sick and eventually pass, watching my grandma get sick and pass, and people that I knew my whole life to just be strong, independent, and healthy, having to watch that and just sit there like, all right, I mean, this is you feel all the feelings and you deal with the grief, but you're also like, this is also just life. Like it's just as much as like going to like a wedding or a birthday party is life, so is going to like a funeral of somebody you love. Like it's just the other token of that, right? And I think when it comes to like adulting, that's been like the hard, definitely the hardest part.
I think, and thank you for sharing that. I think it's death, that just that topic, it's a really difficult topic. Loss, grief. I think those things are, they're very painful and they make us feel really vulnerable when we share them. So, you're not alone in that boat. I feel, at least for me, being raised in a Latino household, death was something that was just, we didn't talk about that. It wasn't a conversation at home. And I actually did an episode on it after my mom passed, because I wanted to have a real conversation about it. And I think the more we talk about it, the less fear maybe, and the less like we remove some of the stigma, because it's unavoidable when we don't know. But it's going to happen, and I feel like we need to, like you said, it's part of adulting. It's part of the cycle of life. It does end at some point. But thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
So
sure. Yeah, 100%. And I agree what you're saying. I think talking about it and not running from it, it's probably the best and most efficient way of dealing and coping with it, which is something that I had to learn as an adult.
absolutely. So we both come from Dominican households. My mom always had, and I think about her now like all the time, like literally it's constant for me. She had a lot of anecdotes and advice for me, a lot of it. And I carry around the advice, all the advice that she gave me and all the stories. What is the best advice your mom has gave you, and what was the worst advice she gave you about life, love, or relationships?
I guess I can't think of the worst advice. It when I look back at it in hindsight, my mom and like all Dominican moms and all the people that grew up, back in that era before like the internet and before those stuff. Sometimes you think because the world changed so much as we got older, right? Like the internet was developed in the 90s and everyone became stuck on computers and then computers took over. And that generation, they didn't really grow up with that. So they weren't like equipped with those computer skills and those things. So sometimes it might have seemed like they weren't I don't want to say not smart, but they just seem like they got left behind. But they really like, if you really like listen to them, they really had like a wisdom that you get from life, from living and experiencing things. So they were really wise. My mom had real wise advice for like everything, and she used to kind of speak in like parables and like phrases. She had like sayings for everything. I can't think of like one specific one off the top of my head, but my mom was just big on like just doing the right thing, like always. Like it all boils down to like doing the right thing just because it's right, not because you're expecting anything or you want this. Sometimes you do the right thing and the wrong thing happens to you, right? Like sometimes people betray you, but she was always big on like you just do the right thing, like always just like just be pure in like your intentions. And she wasn't like, she didn't like generally, this is gonna sound vague, but she just didn't like bad people. Like some people are just bad, like they just have bad intentions. And even people with good intentions, sometimes you do bad things, right? But it's not your intention. It just comes out that way. And that's fine. That's part of like the human experience. But like, it's another thing about people who have like bad intentions, like people who like steal or lie or are deceitful. So my mom was kind of like, her biggest advice was just like on being a good person. I think that was like probably the best advice. When we talk about bad advice, it's like, my mom grew up in like a different generation. So I make jokes about this. I think like a lot of like Dominican women grew up with like they're big proponents of like toxic masculinity, like because that's just
Wait, what? Break that down a little bit.
Well,
What?
it's just how they grew up, right? It's just how they grew up. So their belief of like what the role was for like a woman in the household, it's not the same as like somebody who was born in 1990, right? They believe that like a woman's like duty in the household was different than what a young person might believe now, right? And they believe the man's role is different than what somebody might believe now, right? Which I think for a while it was going away from, but now, like when I meet, especially when I meet like Latinas and I speak to like women who are my age, I find that like a lot of them are us, not them. A lot of us are just kind of like going back to like a little bit of that form of thinking where we're like, for a long time, like my mom, and this is just straight up just from how she grew up. Like my mom, there was no way that my mom would agree with like a woman like running a household and not like cooking and cleaning. Like she just didn't like that. She was not raised that way. So when like a young millennial is like, oh, women don't have to, she would just completely disagree with that. If she went into a household and it was not clean or it was whatever was not, she would put that on the
On the
woman.
woman.
That was just like her duty. Same way if she went into a household and let's say like,
Dishes in the sink.
yeah, that was the cleaning part. But if she went into a household and let's say there was like the bills weren't paid or the thing, she would put that on the man. She would think that like that's a man's job to take care of that. That's
Provider.
how she thought. And I think, the advice for a while, you're like you try to tell her like, hey, things aren't like that anymore. But the older I get, the more I'm okay with like some gender roles if both parties agree to it. I think the bad part is you shouldn't force it on anyone, right? Like if the guy or the girl doesn't agree on those gender roles, then no. But if you both can agree with it, I think that's like that makes like for a good partnership, So at first I thought it was bad advice, but looking back on it, I'm like, no, you find somebody that agrees with the roles that you want to put on them. And there's nothing wrong with that. I meet plenty of women now that are like, oh yeah, no, like my mom raised me to do this and do that. And if and I could do it and I want to do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it. You go do something else. But if you want to do it, I'm like, okay, cool.
So you just let her be her and you be you, and if that works, then that
Right.
works.
Right. I mean,
It doesn't have to.
I grew up with three sisters, and I remember like my mom raising them, and like if she came home and stuff wasn't like how she expected it to be, she would be like what kind of, like this is not, this is not no way for a woman to behave. Like, how are you gonna ever get married? How are you gonna find a man? That's the generation that she grew up in.
Is
That's what it
for
was.
sure, 'cause we're three girls, one boy, and I remember that when the girls would come home, we'd have to go to the kitchen and like peel like literally a pound of garlic, like all this garlic. While my brother was like sitting on the couch after dinner, we were washing dishes. He was on the couch. I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, why is he, isn't he doing anything? She's like,
Right.
no, el barón, you know, déjalo quieto. I'm like, really?
Right.
Seriously? So that did piss me off. I can't lie
Yeah.
about it,
But
but
in the same way, like my mom was definitely that way also, but in the same way, when it was quote unquote things that were that she expected a man to do, she would expect the man to do it. She wouldn't send the girls to like take out the garbage or do, you know, whatever it was. Like my, you know, my dad had to take care of like all the things in the house when it came, like if something broke, something needed to get fixed, that was on my dad. Like my mom wasn't like putting on her plumber's uniform and fixing a bathroom, you know? Like so it was a give and take. It wasn't like a strict like all on women. It's just she had expectations for one gender. And I know we've gone away from that, but I think that if both parties are okay with it, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
okay, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I love to do during, you know, when we're wrapping up interviews is ask for some sort of mantra quote or piece of advice for our listeners, for our audience. And since you often talk about story, you know, you just share stories about dating and relationships, which is, I'm sorry, it's just you do it in a way that's so engaging. And it kind of plants a seed. You're like, never thought about it this way. But
I'm glad that
I
I
believe
changed. I'm glad that's what I'm trying to do.
so it's working.
Good.
So I feel like a lot of what you talk about has to be from life experience. In some way, it's inspired from life experience. And I believe that our life experiences are what gives us our lessons, our life lessons. Like, we can't learn the things we're supposed to without experiencing life. So, given everything you have learned thus far, I keep saying thus far because you're like super young. What is the best advice you can offer the ladies about how to approach men while dating and for the gentlemen who are listening?
Well,
I'm putting you on the spot,
yeah,
Ian.
I'll say this. You know Glory, right?
What? We have an up yeah, I have an episode with her that's fire. I hope I don't get in trouble,
Glory's
but
like a good friend of mine, and we talk a lot. And Glory said something to me once that I thought was super funny because she was talking about like my quote unquote fans are or who are the people that like really mess with my material. And she was like, she kind of just said it in passing. She was like, your fan base are just like pretty women and reformed fuckboys. Like, and I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, like at your show, it's just like really pretty women and guys who like were fuckboys and now they want to be like better. Right. And I was like, I thought about it and I was like, that's a pretty good, yeah, that is pretty good. Like, because when I look at like the people who comment, the people who like come to the show, the people, it's always like you come to my show, it's always like a pretty girl and her boyfriend who like he comes talk to me and I'm like, I could tell that he was a fuckboy and now he's trying to do better. But if I could use one quote, I'm gonna use a quote from my special. It was actually the quote on my shirt. And I think this is the perfect way to approach like everything when it comes to like dating. And this is the line I had on my in my special where like I say all this crazy shit, but then I say like I'm in therapy, I'm figuring this shit out. Okay. Which is like,
So am I, Ian.
yeah, which is just like understand that even when we mess up, we're trying to do better. Like we're trying to work on it. We're trying give people the pass of knowing even when they mess up, like as long as they are trying to do better. Like because I feel like, especially when it comes to the men that come see me and the men that mess with me, a lot of us like they relate to the crazy dating stories because they all have them too. But they're also like, but we're trying to do better. Like we know that we're in our
I
30s now,
know.
and we're in our
It's really
30s, our 40s, and we're not like these kids anymore. And sure, sometimes we mess up and we do the wrong thing, but we're working
we're
on it
trying to do
and
better.
trying to do better. Yeah. That's how I would say, that's how I would say to women, like I would say, find a man who's trying to do better. That's it. That's all life is just trying to do better. And then in the process, you fail. But as long as you keep trying, that's enough, I think.
Okay. Interesting. It's funny because I had a therapist, excuse my French, but she said, I remember I was dating this guy. He was a work in progress. This was a while ago.
Are
He
we
was a work
all?
in progress.
Oh, yeah.
And She said to me, she was like, but why are you still with him? I'm like, well, he's a work in progress. He has so much potential. And she looked at me dead in the face and she said, fuck potential. You need to get out. So, I don't know. You have to kind of weigh your pros and cons and you have to figure out what your boundaries are.
I'll say this though too, because I have a love-hate relationship with therapy. I'll also advise, don't let therapy turn you into a robot. Like sometimes, and look, and I dated a girl who was a therapist, and I can tell you firsthand, they're not like the advice they give you, they don't follow it. They're not
They're
these like,
also in therapy, by the way.
yeah, they're not these like sage people. So understand that even though some people like I feel like sometimes you go to you can go to you can be too much in therapy. Like you can and they can make you into a robot where you're no longer feeling anything, where you're just always like boundaries and I cut people off. Like I remember I had a friend who was like that. Like she was very into therapy, which is great. She's working on stuff. But after a while, it just became where like somebody would do something that she didn't like and she would just cut you off. And I'm like, that's not a good way of being a human being. Like this person obviously did a mistake that's not good, but you've been friends for 20 years and you're cutting them off now because now you have these boundaries that therapy. How about just talking about it and getting them to understand why they did the wrong thing and why they shouldn't do that and why that hurt you and why that affected you? I don't think setting up these boundaries and cutting people off is like you're gonna end, just end up alone, like with no one in with boundaries and no one in your world, you know? I think you gotta find a little balance.
Absolutely. But I mean, it's like that with everything, right? You have to find that sort of middle ground and work from there because it can be all the way to the left, all the way to the right, although there are plenty of people like that. So, and I think the other thing I would say is trust your gut. It will not steer you wrong.
Sometimes it will, though. Let's be honest.
No, it doesn't,
Yes,
Ian.
it does.
No.
It does.
No, it
Look,
doesn't.
my mom
No,
used to
that
have.
is like the one thing. If you really like listen to that inner voice, if you tap into that with just like eliminate the outside voices, eliminate all the crap that you've like been programmed, your gut does not steer you wrong.
I disagree. I think
You
I've had.
are the first person in history, in my history, to say that.
Well, I think, and I mean this to all the people who believe that, I think it's a little self-serving to be like, oh,
Oh,
my gut
what?
knows the thing. It's like, sure, sometimes it does, but you're a human being, so sometimes it doesn't. That's just like a human thing. Like sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. Like we're
You're a
not.
little you're a little cynical, man.
It's not cynical. I think that's like, I'm saying that we're humans, that you're allowed to like
Make a
make,
mistake.
like, sure, your gut is right sometimes, but I mean, I know from experience, I've been in like relationships where like women try to apply that and like they tell me stuff and I'm like, you're wrong about this. And they're like, no, my gut is telling me. I'm like, all right, but I'm the person and you're wrong about this. Like the stuff your gut is telling you is just like 100% wrong, but they believe it's right. But I'm like, you're telling me something about me, and I'm telling you, like even like when we're not in a relationship, like let's say we break up, and we just you know sometimes you do an autopsy on a relationship, like
Yeah.
you go back and you feel like where we go wrong,
Have a lot of bodies, Ian. Have a lot of bodies.
and then they're telling me like that their gut was telling me, and I'm like, look, I'm not, I have no, like I'm not trying to get back with you, like we've moved on, right? You're doing you, I'm but I want you to understand that. This thing that you thought your gut was right about was wrong. It was just
Shut
wrong.
Oh, man. You're like the
Sometimes.
worst person to have an argument with. I could tell you were
Yeah, I'm
going
not
into
good.
law.
Yeah,
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
good.
Well,
I'm
you
not
know,
good. I don't even
you
argue anymore because
could.
I just can't. Like I think
It's
you
the
mad.
lawyer
But
in you.
I
It's the
think what you
lawyer.
said, I think in reality, I think what you said, there's an important part of what you said is shut down the outside voices. And I think that's difficult to do. And that's why people tend to be wrong. Because shutting out the outside influence is very difficult, right? Like you have people in your ear, you have people telling you something, and they're giving you advice based on their experiences, which isn't necessarily your experience. So sometimes you may think is your gut, but it's just the voices that you hear. So
And you don't even realize it.
I think if you could shut down all the outside voices, then Yeah, I would say go with your gut, but I think that's just very difficult to do.
Meditation,
Yeah,
meditation.
it's very difficult to do.
Which
Because
is different from manifesting, because I've heard your spiel on manifesting,
yeah.
but that's another episode. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Ian, thank you so much. You were so much fun. I appreciate your honesty, and just you sharing your stories. Can you please share with our listeners how they can find out more about you and your tour?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. If you guys want to follow me, my name is Ian Lara Live on Instagram, IanLaraLive.com. You can find all my tour dates. My special romantic comedy is on HBO, is streaming on Max. Check that out. My Comedy Central half hour is on YouTube. You can check that out. All my Tonight Show sets are on YouTube. Check all those out. I just did a kids movie that came out on Hulu on Christmas Day. It's called Finnick, where I play like the lead character. It's like a kids movie. Watch that if you have kids. Watch it with your kids. And
Oh, very cool. And your podcast.
yeah, and the Adulthood Podcast. Check it out. It's not a, as you
It's
know,
not for everyone.
yeah, it's not. Yeah,
I
I think it is for everyone. I think it is for everyone. I
don't
think you
know.
should.
Some
I
people,
think you should listen
people
to it.
sensitive. I don't know.
Some people, you know what's funny? I think a lot of people just watch the clips and they don't like you gotta listen to the full pod, because if you listen to the full episodes, like you know, like the people who listen to us love us because they know what we're doing, because we speak about it. Like we'll say something and then we'll talk about, oh, this is gonna get clipped. And then so check it out. It's on YouTube and it's on wherever you get your podcasts, and it's just entertaining stories from like a past life that I used to live.
And you reminisce about now and then.
Yeah.
Ian, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here. We are following you, and we know you're gonna be doing amazing things. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
And thank you all for joining me on another episode of AW Confidential. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of AW Confidential. Please make sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends. You can find me on awakened-woman.com or follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse as Woman Awakened. I'm also on Facebook as AW Inspires. I hope you join me next time on another episode that is sure to be anything but confidential.